Welcome back here on Katy Country 94 on the Sports Ticket, also on KatyCountry94.com. We're pleased to be joined by longtime Pike Valley head football coach Don Melby. Coach, first of all, thanks for taking some time to join us. I know everything's a little different for you now. I hope you're enjoying retirement. Are you staying healthy and busy during all everything that's going on here?
Yeah, I am staying busy and healthy, and you know, I've not had a day yet when I woke up and said, what am I going to do today? I don't have anything to do, and so I find plenty to do, but it's always nice to take some time and be able to talk to you on the radio. I've always enjoyed that.
Yeah, we enjoy talking with you as well, and we can go a little bit more in depth because we have a lot of time right now with sports not going on. So kind of just going back to where you started, Don, and I know that you you played sports in high school, and obviously you remember the three teams that won the state championships there in Scandia in eight-man football. So I guess the first question would be what got you interested in sports, and how did you get going and become a member of those teams that had a lot of success?
Well, I think we were always sports-related. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have all the video games and things like that. And if you walked around town, you know, most of the kids were outside playing, and you could kind of tell what season it was by what part of the lawn was worn out, whether it was baseball season or football season or whatever. Or, you know, I remember scooping snow off a basketball court at our friend's house so we could play basketball in the middle of the winter. And we grew up playing sports together with all the kids, and that's kind of what you did. You went out of the house and played outside and did that. And my family was always a big sports family. And so we just grew up, you played whatever sport it was the season for, and we played them all, I think, and enjoyed every minute of it.
So, again, you play all the sports, and then football is, like I said, where Scandia kind of stood out there in the early 70s, 70, 71, and 72 state championships. What was it like to be on those teams and be able to hoist those trophies at the end of each year there?
Well, it's just an amazing experience. You know, I don't know how you describe it. It was just unreal. We kind of went through that whole thing as we went, and I think my freshman year when we won it the first time, I think we might have had 20 kids on the team, and after we won that first one, I think almost every year after that we had like 40 kids. Mm-hmm. Every boy in high school pretty much came out for football, wanted to be a part of that, so it was kind of cool that way to have all those people involved, and you know, we had good coaches, and we just worked our way through, and you know, you always hate to be the one that ended the streak, but I had that distinction too as a senior. We ended up losing the close game to Lebanon in the regular season, and then we just had one of those playoff games that year that was just kind of snake bit. It was over at Belleville, and it was really cold. The ground was frozen, and I think we lost three quarterbacks that night. And really only one of them was due to being hit football-wise. One of them broke his ankle on the frozen ground, and one of them fell down and dislocated a shoulder on the frozen ground. And by the time we were done, we were down to a freshman quarterback, and he played really well, and we were close, but that kind of ended that streak. But, you know, it was fun. It was really fun to share with those guys and do those things, and memories you never forget.
I know some people might not know, you know, obviously the playoff system was a little different back then. It was probably, there was a lot of teams involved, and it was probably a little harder to make it, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know whether it was way, way different. Mm-hmm. I think you had to win four games to get through. It was different, though, because they went through point systems and different things like that, and so they had a lot of different tiebreakers, and we traveled around. We played in Dodge City once. We played in Alma, I think, when we played Paxico, and we played in Russell, and we kind of played all over the place. We played in Pratt, I think, for a state championship one year. We played in Dodge City the one year in a state championship, and we actually got to play in Belleville one year because at that time it kind of moved around. Instead of having one site hosted like we do now at Newton, if you could get to that point. And, you know, we were, I think the second one when I was a sophomore was at Belleville. So that was kind of cool, too, to be close to home. So, but, yeah, it was tough. I mean, that was, I thought our coaches always did a good job of coming in the first part of the week and saying, man, I don't know if we can beat this team. They're off. They're just awesome, you know, and doing this and doing that. And then he just built through the week. And by the end of the week, he had you believing you could beat him. And then you went out and played, and hopefully you got that done. And we were fortunate enough to get that done several times.
And we're talking with Don Melby, longtime Pike Valley head football coach and assistant boys basketball coach as well, and did a lot of teaching as well there. We'll talk about that coming up later as well. Coach, in between from high school at Scandia, you then went on to college at Fort Hays State. What was your experience like out there in Hays?
I love Fort Hays State. That was a great experience for me. And actually, at one time, I've got three other brothers, and at one time in my time at Fort Hays, all four of us were going to school at Fort Hays, and I'm sure my dad didn't enjoy that as much as we did, but, you know, we were all out there at one point in time for a little bit, but I enjoyed it. I got a scholarship to play football my freshman year, and then I ended up with a knee injury about halfway through the season, and just decided, one, I wasn't really good enough to be going on and do a whole lot more. You know, I was just another player on that team. And two, I had a really good friend that was a senior on that team, and he'd gone through seven knee surgeries and was hobbling around and, you know, just looked at different things. And I decided that that wasn't going to be for me. So after that freshman year, then I gave up football and just went to school there at Hays. But I really enjoyed the school. The size was right. The people were good. My dad went to Fort Hays. That was his alma mater, and so really enjoyed it.
I know, just chatting with you before we started here, you said that teaching wasn't always really what you were planning on doing. When did you decide to make that move and teach and coach and be part of that?
Well, I don't know whether I ever really made that decision, but I had enough credits. I probably could have graduated in December of my senior year, and I had a really good advisor at Fort Hays, and I thank the Lord that I did. And he convinced me that I just had one different class to take and then take the teaching block in the spring. And he said, you know, if you're doing construction and building houses, because I was an industrial arts major, mm-hmm. I just didn't have the education part of it. He said, if you're building houses, it gets pretty cold in the winter and stuff. And he said, you could go in and sub in the school district and make some money that way when you can't work outside. So he convinced me to take the teaching block, and I did that. And again, never thinking I would teach, and went home, and my brother and I started a construction business and started working through that. And I think it was in maybe November of 78 that the industrial arts teacher at that time, it was Scandia and Cortland, they were still two separate schools, took a leave of absence and was gone. And so they hired me as a substitute, and I ended up teaching then from November until maybe the last 2 weeks of school. I think that teacher came back for the last 2 weeks of school, but I did most of the school year that year. And even then, you know, I thought, okay, I did that. I was still going to go, and they offered me the job because he had resigned, and I turned it down. And I don't think I ended up signing the contract until maybe August of 79. And started out then, and they hired me as the industrial arts instructor and an assistant football coach. I was helping Dev Burnbeck, and Dev Burnbeck kind of gave me my start mm-hmm. in the coaching part of it, and I always appreciated that from him. But did 2 years as an assistant, and then Dev moved on, and I think he went to Oakley from here.
And he moved sounds around right, yep.
He went to Oakley, and then I think he went back down around Lakin, and mm-hmm. where his hometown was, and so when he left, I ended up being offered the head job and took it, and it just kind of went on from there. But, you know, for not really ever planning to do that in my career, just turned out to be a huge, huge blessing for me. I can't say enough about how lucky I am to be able to do what I did for the time I did.
So the consolidation started then right then in 1979, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So when I subbed, it was still the two high schools, and then the fall of 79, they went together in Pike Valley. So I never really coached Scandia High School or Cortland High School. Mm-hmm. It was Pike Valley that first year they went together, and we started out with that program and went from there. So technically all of my full-time teaching was probably at Pike Valley too, although you know, half or three-fourths of a year was at Cortland and Scandia High School.
Yep. Again, we're talking with Don Melby, longtime coach here in North Central Kansas and teacher as well there at Pike Valley and in Scandia there. So you get into the football, and like you said, the first two years you're an assistant, and then you had 37 years as a head coach. And I remember when I talked to you when you retired there in 2017 that you'd seen every single Pike Valley High School football game, and you had a lot of them that you won. You went 216 and 143 from 81 to 2017 as the head coach. We're going to talk about some of those seasons individually, but you had 15 playoff appearances. What stands out the most during your time as a head coach and just working with those kids there at Pike Valley?
Well, it'd be hard to single out one one certain time. I mean, we had so many good teams along the way, and I had a lot of people that helped me out. But, and you know, early in my career, Jack Clover was huge for me. He was coaching at Wakanda East, and he really helped me a lot when I was young and got me started. And you know, I got one thing I will never forget is getting thrown out of his soap scrimmage. And we had fun with that. He wasn't real happy that we were there. And that was when Dev Birnbeck was still the head coach, but I went with him. He asked us to leave, and we did. And so when Jack retired and they did a retirement thing for him, I went to his retirement thing and I took a couple bars of soap and told him he'd forgotten to get those from me when we got kicked out of his soap scrimmage, and we laughed about that quite a bit. But, you know, just I think for me, what stood out for me is watching kids grow up and watch their confidence grow, and then just being able to share those memories with so many kids over the years. And, you know, we had some good years. We had some not so good years. But the kids were always good, and we always enjoyed it. And you certainly have your moments when you're saying, why am I doing this? But there's a whole lot more moments when you're just feeling like the luckiest guy on the face of the earth, you know, to be able to share with those kids and watch them do what they do. And we did. We had a lot of success over the years, and you know, that's due to a lot of things, not just me.
Yeah, you the 80s and 90s, you made it to the playoffs five times in between there from what I researched anyway. I could be wrong about that. That's what I see anyway on what I'm looking at. Your first playoff game was against Midway Denton. You probably got thrown into the fire pretty quick there, didn't you?
Yeah, that was an experience. And, boy, that was their heyday. And they came in and they just rolled us. And, you know, it's just – it was a different experience, and I wasn't used to it. They were beating us pretty good, and they actually onside kicked, and I mean, they just took it to us. But that was when you get on the field with them, you better be ready to play, because they were going to bring it. And I was good friends with their head coach, or developed to be good friends with him, and a lot of the coaches over the years. And I guess that's the other thing, you know, along with it, we played some really good teams, and I met so many really good coaches and stuff that have shared their stuff with me and been good friends ever since. And, you know, I go a lot of places, and I see people that I've known for years, and my wife's not so happy sometimes. She'll say, yeah, I'm just going to walk away because you're going to be talking a while. And but those friendships, you know, both with the athletes you have and the coaches that you work with, and even athletes from other schools. I have kids that, later in the years when I was coaching basketball, I had kids that were from other schools that either coached against there, or a couple of them that I coached in the All-Star game at Beloit, and they would come up and talk, and that's just a really neat thing when you can get to that point.
So you got your first playoff win then in 89 against Elwood in the first round of the playoffs, and lost a tough one to El Saline in the quarterfinals that year. But what was it like to get a win and start feeling a little bit more comfortable about playing in the postseason?
That first playoff win was a big one, and I remember going out to Elwood, and you're just pretty much out of the state there, and Harry Elder was their coach, and they had a really good team, and we had a really good team, I thought, and, you know, we played really well that night and got that first win, and man, everybody was pumped up and ready to go, and felt like we had a chance to go quite a ways, and then we fell at El Saline, and that was a good ball game. It was close, but they had a good team, and I think Robert Hachia was maybe the head coach there. And I believe I ended up actually coaching in an All-Star game with him later on as we went through. But that first win is pretty neat. You know, it's hard to get that first when you get so nervous and do those kind of things. And we played, it seemed like a lot of times, it seemed like we played a lot of teams that we always ended up with the best team in the state. It seemed like to me we ended up with, you mentioned Midway Denton, and we played Sylvan Grove when they were in their heyday, and, mm-hmm. and Northern Valley, and I was trying to think down by Wichita, there was another one, Pretty Prairie.
Yeah.
And they were really good, and you know, we just had some really good experience with some good schools, and we went down to Madison when they were in their heyday. We mm-hmm. played St. Paul a few times when they were there, and you know, being able to be in the playoffs just gets you to go around the state a little bit more. You meet some more coaches, you meet more kids, and it was just awesome.
In the 90s, I know you had some battles. Tell me, because I don't think a lot of people really, you know, I wasn't here at the time, and some people that might not have known what football was like in the Pike Trail League in the 90s, how physical was the brand of football that teams like Mankato, Wakanda East, and yourselves were playing in the 90s?
Very, very physical. Mm-hmm. You know, the game has changed, and I think probably for the better. I think they've taken a lot of things that, you know, probably were pretty brutal. The forearm shiver, my assistant coach was Dennis Hutchison, and I can still remember him lining us all up, and he said, I'll show you guys how to do a forearm shiver, and he'd line us all up in a line, and boom, that arm would come up under your chin, and the stars would start spinning a little bit, but he taught us how to do it, and, you know, we always had bruised up forearms from that, and head slap on the helmets. I mean, it was just a really physical game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even back to when I played, we had a huge team. I think we probably averaged about 230 or 240 across the front line pretty much, and our running backs were 200 pounds, and yet we were probably the third from the biggest team in the league. Lebanon had a huge team. Hillcrest, Cuba had a good team, had a big team. They were just some big physical kids. And there still is. There's still some big physical kids, but I think they have taken some of the, I don't know, brutal part of it out, mm-hmm. and, you know, tried to make it a little safer for kids to play. And I do appreciate that. I think as I got older, that's probably the one thing that bothered me more than most anything else, is I hated to see kids get hurt,
yeah.
you know, and blow out a knee or whatever it might be, or have that concussion. And you know, to me, it was always a game. It wasn't something that you absolutely lived or died by. It was a game, and they should have fun, and they should be able to do that. And I always appreciated the kids that could come out without getting hurt, and hated to see the ones that didn't.
You then at the turn of the millennium, and after that, you had four times where you made it to the sub-state round of the playoffs, 02, 05, and then your last 2 years in 16 and 17. Take me back to those two teams that made it to sub-state. As you said, you took on St. Paul in 02, and they ended up winning the championship, and a very good Hope team in 2005. What was it like to see your kids be able to make that deep run and enjoy that with them?
It was awesome. I mean, I think we upset a team in Gossel the one year that we played Hope, and I was good friends with Jeff Hostetter, who was coaching at Hope, and you know, we met and we talked beforehand, and we played up here at our place, and they had a super good receiver named Zeb Elliott, and really good kids to go around with him, and we'd gotten beat up a little bit. We had a couple of injuries that got with us, but you know, we played them as well as we could play them. We just could not quite get past them, and it was a beautiful night here on our field. And then they went down to Russell for the state championship game, and they were a passing team. And, man, I think the wind was blowing 50 miles an hour, and it was tough and really didn't fit their game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a little selfish. I think it would have fit our game a little bit better because we weren't a passing team necessarily, but they, you know, they had a great team, but the weather that year kind of got by them. But yeah, a lot of other things. I remember the St. Paul game up here at our place again, and they were just unbelievable. They just hadn't been scored on or hardly taken anything out, and we started out that game, and we held them on their first possession, took the ball and drove it down the field and stuck it in the end zone and scored. And held them again on their second possession, drove the ball all the way down and had a first and goal, and they made a goal line stand. And then it just was back and forth from there, and I think we ended up losing by six or maybe two touchdowns. It was close. Mm-hmm. And I remember Doug Tuck was the coach at St. Paul at that time, and he said, nobody had ever done that to us. Nobody had ever driven it down the field and scored. And he said, if you would have scored in that second possession, he said, my kids were done. They would have stopped. Mm-hmm. I mean, they'd just given up. But giving them the goal line stand was enough to get them there, and then we lost in a close one there, and they went on and won a championship. And, you know, it was like that. And that's, those coaches always told me, you know, getting that first win to get to a state championship game or whatever is really, really hard. And I was never able to get our kids there to do that. But, you know, I don't have any regrets. No. We did the best we could, and I always tried to do the best that I could. And if we didn't make it, we didn't make it. There's an awful lot of coaches around that never did.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking with Don Melby, longtime coach at Pike Valley High School. And so you come back here at the end of your career with 14-15. You picked up a couple wins early on in the playoffs, then lost to Argonian Attica 2 years in a row. But then in 16-17, you kind of broke through. You're talking about playing some of the best teams in the state during your runs, and you might not have seen a better team than Hanover the next 2 years that you had to face them in the sub-state championship games. What was the experience like? Were those your fastest teams? That's the first question. Were those the fastest teams you had? And then what was it like to take on Hanover in those games?
I'm guessing that's probably about as fast a team as we had. We had some really good speed with those kids and really good talent. And, you know, the first year when we went over to Hanover, we'd lost to Osborne early in the year. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they went on and won a state championship that year, too. And then we went over to Hanover in the playoffs, and we did not play well that night. We started off bad, and, you know, maybe it's back to that thing with the St. Paul thing, but, you know, we took our first position. We ended up snapping it over the punter's head for a safety and just didn't get things going right. And man, they rolled us that year. And that was, to me, that was a disappointing thing because I knew we had a better team than that. And we just had a bad night and didn't play well and for whatever reason. But, you know, then the next year, so we lost. That year we lost two games to Osborne and Hanover, and they were both undefeated state champions. And came back the next year, and the kids really worked hard and tried to get to that point. And just a game of inches over there at Hanover. I mean, it was close going in, and you know, Matt Hoyer does a heck of a job over there, and he's got a good game plan and things like that. But probably in the third quarter, there was a play that stands out in my mind because it was right in front of me, and they ran a little pass back to the backside, and it was coming right towards me, and our defensive back, Ant Reeves, came up on it, and it maybe went an inch over his fingertips. Mm-hmm. And if he intercepts that ball, he's going to score because there was nobody between him and the goal line. But it just went over his fingertips, and then the kid caught it, and they went on and scored on that possession, and then we just never could quite get back from that. But those are the things when you play. There's just so many little turning points, and, you know, that play wasn't necessarily the thing, but I think that would have made a huge difference. That goal line stand against St. Paul would have made a difference, and there are just a lot of little things that go on, but that's why you play the game.
Few other things I wanted to talk to you about during your football career. I know late there in your career that they named the field after you, Don Melby Field. What was it like that night to be able to get that honor? And I know you take care of the field a lot, and it's basically your field anyway, is what some people are going to say. But what did that mean to you to have that honor?
Well, very, very humbling. You know, I always said I wish they would have just named it Melby Field because my family has been so good. I can remember my mom and dad mowing the field for me when I was a young coach and I didn't have enough time to do it. And my brother Mark has always been there to help us build the stuff. He helps us paint the field, basically anything I need. My nephews have been up there and helped quite a bit and doing things. And, you know, it's just, it was there. But I was so oblivious that night, I had no idea what was going on. And they told me later, when they were putting the sign under the scoreboard, they said, well, we didn't think we were going to get it done because you wouldn't stay off the field.
Yeah.
You know, I was down mowing and marking and doing things and taking care and getting ready for things to do. And And I guess I kind of knew that they were having some kids come back because I could see the kids around, and mm-hmm. I thought they were having some kind of a reunion thing or whatever, but really didn't pay any attention. And when they turned and opened up that sign, I mean, I told them it's not fair to make me cry before a game. But when those kids came out on the field and they unveiled that sign, the tears flowed.
Yep.
You know, it was very emotional, very humbling. And I'll be grateful forever for the opportunities they gave me and the things that have abounded here at Pike Valley.
I know you're able to coach some family members as well, and when you were coaching there, you had some nephews. But what did it mean to be able to be a part of that with them as a coach and as a family member?
Well, that was a growing thing too. I think the first nephew I coached, I was probably too hard on him because mm-hmm. I was trying so hard not to be partial mm-hmm. that I almost went overboard the other way. And so after that first year with him, I told my assistant coaches, and that's, I've been blessed with a lot of those. You know, Gary Loring's been there for 30 some years with me, mm-hmm. and he's still coaching basketball and football up there. And I told him, I said, you got to watch me. And I said, do not let me be unfair. I said, I don't want to be easy. I don't want to be anything else, but don't let me be unfair just because it's a family member.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried really hard not to do that after that and to watch him play. And it's, you know, it is special when it's your family and being able to do that. I didn't have any sons, which is fine. I told my wife I love my girls and I wouldn't trade them for the world. But, you know, being able to coach my nephews has been great and enjoyed that with them. And so it's a good experience.
One other thing in your football career that I think, and again, we're talking with Don Melby, longtime Pike Valley football head coach. One of the things that obviously I know you're proud of, and I know everybody that's involved in is proud of, is getting that 8-man All-Star game started. And I know that you were part of that. Chuck Fessenden was part of it. I know there's a good group of guys in 8-man football that got it going. But my question for you, basically, and I think a lot of people might know the story, but why was it important for you guys to start that 8-man All-Star game?
Well, I'm an 8-man football guy. I mean, I think some of our coaches, you know, young coaches especially, will get in and they'll get into 8-man football and get their feet wet, and then they're always looking to move up and move to a bigger high school, move to maybe the college ranks and wherever they want to go. I cut my teeth on 8-man football, and I loved 8-man football and loved to get it. But our big thing was, you know, the Shrine Bowl had started then, and so basically, they would take maybe one or two 8-man players. I think their rule said they had to take one or two. And we felt like we had a lot more good players like that and just wanted to kind of showcase the game of 8-man football and give more kids a chance to play in an all-star type situation. And honestly, I don't think I ever viewed that it would be as big as it has been. A lot of that credit goes to Beloit. You know, there were a group of seven or eight coaches up here that we met together several times and kind of got our ducks in a row or tried to get our ducks in a row. And then we approached Beloit about maybe being a host site for it. And, man, they jumped on that and grabbed it up and have held on ever since. And they've been amazing in helping us make the game better, you know, make it do things that we probably never foresaw, especially going to like two games now. And, you know, we're able to bring in 80 players and 12 coaches and spend a few days there and play a game. And it's been awesome. It's been way more than I probably ever thought it might be. And I have really, really enjoyed that experience.
I know, like you talk about, you're an assistant coach with Gary on the basketball team too. When did you start helping him out?
I actually started with him when he came and was the head coach. I was an assistant coach for Bob. Oh, gosh, I'm losing his name now. Getting too old. But he was from over around Cortland, and he coached for a couple years. So I assisted him for a little while before Gary came to Pike Valley. And then I assisted Gary in all the games when he came up until 2 years ago when mm-hmm. I retired.
So you were part of the two teams then that went to state and finished in second place in 91 and 92. What were those experiences like?
Oh, that was awesome too. That was mm-hmm. a great run. And again, you know, you got to be good and you got to be lucky. And we were very, very fortunate. And, you know, we never won the big game. We got second twice. And it just great to share with the kids and be able to, you know, move all over around the state again. And we stayed in Hayes and played there, and just a great experience. Of course, I'm biased because I love Fort Hays State, and it was nice to go back to the Coliseum and be able to play. And again, that was right in Northern Valley's heyday. They had the Sides Twins and some really good players there, and I think they beat us in the one championship game. And you know, it's a great thing to watch those kids play so hard and see how hard they work, and see the real upside of it when you win and doing those things, and you see the crushing defeat, you know, when they lose. And I know Gary never let me forget it, but the kids were kind of moping around and down after they lost that championship game the one year. And I don't know why, I just guess I was a little ornery, but I took a bucket full of ice water and bucketed them down a little bit. It kind of broke the ice and kind of, you know, got them back off that a little bit. And I took a bath or two in my time. I thought it was my turn to share with them. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, just being able to do those things, and I see those kids now, and they're just great. And you sit down and talk, and you remember things, and they remember things that I don't remember. And there's nothing better than to be able to share that with kids.
Kids and coaches, too. I think you're in a unique situation there, I would guess, there at Pike Valley, to spend 30 years with Gary as an assistant for basketball and him as an assistant for you in football. What does it take to have a relationship like that for that long to be successful?
Well, we just kind of hit it off, mm-hmm. and it was really the perfect combination. I mean, he worked hard for me in football and did that kind of thing, but, you know, that was the grind for me, doing the paperwork and doing everything else and getting that all done. And a lot of times by the time football was over, you know, I was exhausted and I was tired and kind of burnt down a little bit. And he was able to take into basketball then and start off with all that enthusiasm and give me just a week or two to kind of catch my breath and get going. And then we'd get into that. And you know, as much as he helped me in football, that's what I tried to do with him in basketball. I wanted him to coach. I wanted to help him coach, but I wanted to take care of things that I could do for him so he could concentrate on what he loved to do and try to support him as much as I could, as he did with me in football. And you know, we were always good friends, and we did some summer camps and stuff together, and we just were able to maintain that relationship. There was no jealousy. There was no animosity, really. Mm-hmm. I can't say that we ever really got mad at each other. You know, I always told him in football and basketball too, I said, if it's football, I said, I'm the head coach. I want you to tell me what you see. I want you to tell me what you think we ought to do. Mm-hmm. But I said, don't get upset if I don't do it, because that's going to be my decision. And then when it turned around to basketball, it was kind of the same way. I would tell him, I see this, or I see that, or I think maybe we ought to do this. But it never really hurt my feelings if we didn't do that, mm-hmm. because he was the head coach. He was the boss, and he made that decision. I'd make a suggestion, and if it didn't go, it didn't go. You know, and I remember so many times in football, for a lot of years he called the offensive plays, and I can remember standing on the sidelines and he'd call a play and I'd be thinking, oh, why did you call that? What, that isn't going to work. And they'd score a touchdown and then I'd have to say, great play, coach.
Yep.
Great job. You know, and it, just having that set of eyes, I think we fed off each other really well. I thought we were, you know, our personalities worked with each other, that we could do that and not worry about it. And we never really blamed each other when things were tough, and you know, we're there for each other when we could.
I know you're, again, Don Melby with us, you're a true hometown Scandia boy, so I know that you, as a man, you've grown up and been there your whole life, and I know you didn't just leave the football stadium when you retired. I know you still go back and support those kids and coaches, and what's it like to do that in retirement instead of having to worry about all the fine details on game day?
Well, it has been really nice, and it's given me more time. I still mow the field, and I still mark it and get it ready for the games and put stuff out. But I got more time to do it because I don't have to teach during the day, and I don't have to get done with football practice and then go jump on a mower and mow after dark or do anything like that. I've got more time to do that. But I think the other big thing. And a lot of people said, don't you miss coaching? Don't you miss being out? Well, you miss the people.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed going to the ball games. And like I said, last year was the first two I missed. My wife had some surgery, so I missed a couple games last year. But I really enjoyed, especially that first year, being able to go to the games and sit down and watch the kids play.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably was able to see more things in that situation because I didn't have to worry about what am I going to do next? What are we doing here? What are we, you know, you're always thinking ahead and concentrating. And to be able to sit down and watch them play.
Mm-hmm.
Was fun for me. I enjoyed that. And it was just kind of a switch in gears things, but I was able to see more of the game and enjoy the game, you know, from the sidelines.
Don Melby, a longtime head football coach at Pike Valley, retired back after the 2017 season. Coach, we thank you for taking some time to kind of reminisce about your career. It's been fun. I know a lot of that stuff because I've been here a while, but some of the stuff before I got here I didn't know about, and it's always fun to talk about those memories and relive some of that time here. Thanks for the time, Don, and wish you nothing but the best as you continue your retirement here.
Well, I appreciate that, Dusty, and thanks for taking the time and calling. You know, I always enjoy visiting with you and all the guys around, and that's the part that's always there, the friendships you make and those relationships.